Welcome to the Butts of the Seats podcast, episode number 103.
We back, baby!
I know, we're back doing our usual stuff.
No more of this 100 episode bullshit.
Oh, I need to go get a shots.
Please don't.
Never again.
That was so many shots back to back. And then you're like, oh, the Patreon, we need shots here too.
Yeah, it was, I guess, five episodes in a row.
It was a lot. Like, I love the 10 episode thing. But I was worried to the point where I was like, we're doing so many shots that by the time that we stop, we're going to have one episode break and that'll be episode 110 again. I'm going to have to do it again.
So this is going to release the week after WrestleMania.
Woo! So. How did you love watching Cody finish his story?
I already did this joke on the Impact one.
Well, we're doing it again.
No, today we're here to talk about some WCW Monday Nitro.
It's been a minute.
I almost pulled Ready to Rumble. It was like Monday Night Nitro.
How long has it been since we've watched Nitro?
About 2 months, month and a half. It's been a while.
My notes said the last time we sat down and watched was January 17th.
Well, that was Nitro, not WCW.
Nitro, yeah. Thunder was a little bit later than that, but not by much.
So how much of a recap did you really need for this?
Less than I thought. But give a little one for the listeners.
So in short, basically all you have to know is that David Arquette has become the WCW champion. Hulk Hogan and Billy Kidman are feuding.
Big air quotes.
And there's going to be the Ready to Rumble Doomsday cage match at Slamboree.
I think it's just because we have watched so much faff in between this Thunder and this now Nitro. I thought the cage match already happened.
Well, you did see a different triple-decker cage match.
Yeah, exactly. So in my head, we've already seen the triple-decker cage. It's done. We did that. We are also about 6 days away from the next pay-per-view, which is Slamboree.
Yes.
So this is the go-home show for that, too. After all of that, we have one episode until a pay-per-view.
Yeah, there's 10 matches, apparently, the pay-per-view. Only 5 get TV time during this show. And part of that, apparently, is because Booker T gets injured on a house show and he won't be able to work the pay-per-view.
Oh.
He's not out super long-term, but he's not on the... He's not facing Scott Steiner.
That's kind of a bummer. Yeah. I always like watching Booker T. Even though he's done a heel turn in your heart in 2024.
I just don't like his show.
I know.
And that's not really a hot take. Ironically, because of his hot takes. Well, Emily, let's get into the show. It's the May 1st, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro, live from Birmingham, Alabama.
I feel like they could have had a lot more fun with the fact that this was in Alabama. Like, they love their dumb Southerners joke. They love their incest jokes. Alabama is, like, usually the butt of those jokes. They could have done that, and they really didn't even touch it. Which, like, I am impressed at their restraint, but I'm shocked. Shocked that Mark Madden didn't have anything to say about, like, loving your cousin.
Yeah. So we open with the set of 3,000 Miles to Graceland, where Courtney Cox is scolding new WCW champion David Arquette.
They don't make it entirely obvious that this is the movie set.
There's a little graphic at the bottom.
Oh, did they? I didn't see the graphic. Yeah. But this could have just been the back parking lot of whatever arena they're in Alabama. But Courtney Cox, her hair... So I'm a huge Friends fan. I grew up on Friends. My family is very intertwined with Friends. Like, we are a very Friends-centric family. I saw Courtney Cox's hair, and I was like, what season of Friends does her hair look like that? And so I was going through it, and I'm like, okay, 2000 would be season 6, but her hair didn't look like that in season 6. And then they said, like, from the set of this movie. I'm like, oh, why am I even racking my brain? She's wearing a wig. Like,
so they don't really note that, like, David Arquette is also in the cast of this movie.
No, it looks like he's just kind of hanging out on set with his wife.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's working.
I did look it up. Has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh. So watch it on Patreon, right? Maybe. Good.
By the time we have an opening for another movie, you're going to forget all about this.
We don't have to watch Hogan Knows Best.
You already advertised it.
Well, too bad.
There's a graphic.
They can make it a one-parter. It'd just be a long episode.
We then get the Thunder recap, and then we get DDP's car of him, Canyon, and David Arquette. It's cut off by Russo's limo. It's just general heels there. I couldn't really see who was all there, because almost immediately, Hulk Hogan comes speeding in and rams the limo with his car.
This happened so quickly that, like, I couldn't take note of who was in either car. I couldn't take note of who was down there. I just said it was a Sharks versus Jets moment.
A little bit.
It was like... One car rolls up, the other car rolls up, they all get out, they start like, hey, what the fuck? And then Hogan just blares his car into somebody else's car. Then chaos ensues, as if chaos wasn't already ensuing.
It's a pretty good limo, because it kind of didn't take that all that much damage. Like, it wasn't visually spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, we should take note of what style of car it was. Very, very family safe.
Everyone brawls, and then we get the opening pyro.
If that's the energy we're going into this with, woof.
Yeah, I guess we should say, this was not our best foot forward back.
No.
On commentary, Tony Schiavone mentions that, yes, David Arquette is the champion, and Mark Madden talks about how a bunch of legends are upset, which does echo some real feelings from people.
I mean, yeah, I believe that, but throughout this whole episode, even David Arquette is like, why am I the champion? Why am I here?
And to capitalize on all that, we're going to open with Crowbar versus Norman Smiley.
Listen, I'm not mad, but also why?
Yeah. And Norman has brought along his mystery partner, but the mystery partner is hidden underneath a local mascot costume.
So what is the whole thing about the mystery partner? Why are we, like, advertising a mystery partner?
I think it was to, like, level the playing field between him and Terry Funk.
I don't remember any of this being set up.
It was very much in passing.
Okay, because they were like, oh, and here's his mystery partner. Was this advertised? Were we talking about who Miss Mystery Partner would be? Like, do I completely forget this storyline?
Pretty much you did forget.
I guess.
But it wasn't super present. It was...
I read through my notes from the last Nitro and the last Thunder.
Yeah, so after losing on the pay-per-view, Norman wanted another shot. And it's like, well, you can't beat him, so you can get a mystery partner. And he goes, I know just the guy.
Wow, okay,
and
I present
to you just the guy.
Some Alabama NHL mascot. They said hockey, but like, what team is from Alabama?
You're asking me the one sport I don't know. Oh, speaking of things I always have to look up, I didn't tell you about the rating for this show.
Oh, yes, please, do tell.
Raw did a 7.4.
Whoa.
Which is like the second highest they've ever done. And this Nitro did a 2.5, which is like the worst they've done in numerous years.
What was going on Raw that made this like so good?
Well, it was the night after Backlash, which is basically when they did a redo WrestleMania.
A redo WrestleMania.
Yeah, Rock wins, Austin helps him. I think people thought Austin was going to be, you know, fully coming back.
Oh, yeah.
But if you see him there, he's not ready to come back.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a gun on him. They're like cracking the beers on the title belt.
Choking on Whataburger.
Oh, no.
And as far as the hockey mascot goes, I'm like, I maybe it's the local thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not an NHL team.
It could be
team.
A high school. It could be, like, minor league.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because Bret Hart has his, like, Calgary Hitmen jersey comes out in.
Who cares? Not really important. Just know that there's a big mascot head in the ring now.
Well, for a second, because Crowbar hits a back kick and then puts the mascot head, like, in between the ropes out of the ring. And now the mystery partner is just stuck there for the next 90% of this match.
Yeah, he does not really come into play at all. Which is fine, because I like watching Crowbar and Norman Smiley. Like, they were fun.
Crowbar gets scoop slammed on the trash can, and then Crowbar skins the cat and head scissors Norman to the floor. Norman hits a padded chair shot to Crowbar as commentary speculates the mystery partner is the Shockmaster.
So, wasn't the Shockmaster a WCW thing?
Yes.
Are they? So they're just openly and actively making fun of themselves.
Oh, yeah, but that's okay. That's from a good amount of years ago.
I know, but I feel like I think of WCW as so proud that they would never make fun of themselves. Like,
they immediately gave him a construction worker gimmick, and his whole thing was he trips over and is clumsy.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah. That was their response to the Shockmaster in real time.
Okay, well, I did not know that. I just think of them as, you know, very proud and, like, never make fun of themselves, never laugh at themselves. So that's why I was kind of looking at you with confusion when this was happening. I was like, they're talking about the Shockmaster? Didn't they just want to, like, pretend that never happened?
The two trade weapon shots, and Crowbar hits a diving splash from the apron. Crowbar runs into a chair shot from Norman, but Norman gets low-blowed with the kendo stick. Just kind of realizing now, no Daphne, no David here.
I know. Which really is a bummer. I mean, I like Crowbar on his own, but Daphne really elevates the matches, even with her screaming. She's fun.
Crowbar then does the big wiggle on the mystery partner, so then Norman does the wiggle on both men, and then they hit a double crossbody.
What do they call it? A three-way wiggle?
I don't know. There was a line or two that I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it was a little innuendo-y.
The mystery partner finally gets loose, but then a jersey is put over the head of the mascot, despite the fact that the mascot would probably see out of the mouth.
Well, okay.
The mascot is then hit with a kendo stick. Crowbar counters a super back suplex into a crossbody. Finish the match, the mystery partner is crawling on the ground, accidentally trips Norman into rolling up Crowbar for the win. And I'm like, that's physics, okay.
I like liked it.
Yeah.
It was choreographed. I thought that it was like a cool little ending. It was unique.
Yeah, we do not see who the mystery partner is. I believe that will be revealed on Slamboree.
I'm so curious. But I'm also not that curious. It's not going to be somebody that I like. It's probably not even going to be anybody I fucking know. It's going to be Scott Norton, isn't it?
Do you feel seen today, by the way?
Because he's looking at me?
Yes, you still not framed it, but...
He's sitting on the chair in front of me, though.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to prop him up for you.
Oh, my God.
So this was a little bit of fun. The mystery partner being a little incompetent, I think, hurt it slightly.
Overall, though, it was a fun match. I'm not mad about this. Like, it was enough energy to be like, okay, maybe this show will be all right.
I'm going to ask you point blank. Is this your best bit?
Why would you ask that so early?
Because it's mine.
That gives away the whole rest of the show right off the jump.
Just to tell you, the show has peaked.
This is not my best bit that I've written down. This is 1,000% the best match of the show. There is a couple other light points in this, but you know.
How many of them are immediately undercut?
Most of them. All but one.
A commentary of Tony Schiavone, Scott Hudson, and Mark Madden checking in. Mark Madden is a dick. I did not miss him.
I can't keep Scott Hudson's name in my head either.
Yeah, admittedly, when I
Maybe
wrote
it's
Scott.
Scott's. Do I have problems with Scott's?
Admittedly, when I did write Scott, I was like, I'm going to remember it's Hudson, right?
I saw his face. I was like, I know you. Who the fuck are you?
Backstage, David Arquette tries to give his title to DDP as they head towards the ring. We then get Team Russo and Team Package also heading through the arena.
It all just happens so quickly. And there's so many cuts to backstage throughout this whole episode, honestly. There's so many cuts to backstage that you think matter, but then they don't.
Yeah.
But they present them as if they do. Makes taking notes really hard.
We then get more of Courtney Cox and David Arquette on the set, which it seemed weird that we just saw him walking backstage and then you cut to this.
And they don't say, like, earlier or a few days ago. There's no little graphic that's like, previously. No, it's just all of a sudden we're on this back lot again and Courtney Cox is yelling at David because you're not even a wrestler. And she's like, but I am, Courtney. I won the championship. She's like, that doesn't fucking matter. You're an actor. You're not a wrestler.
Kurt Russell comes in. It's time for our nude love scene. It's like just highlighting that David Arquette's a little bitch. And it's like, hey, I'm the champion. And Kurt Russell just laughs in his face, which is funny. However, that is technically your champion. So not even the people in his industry respect him. So isn't it all great?
I appreciated Courtney Cox being the voice of like, David, what the fuck are you doing?
David,
stop it.
He does go off to hit Kurt Russell with a chair, and that's when we get the, you're not a wrestler.
You're not a wrestler!
We then get...
My best fucking bit of the night, apparently.
The setup for...
My worst bit, let's be real.
A bunch of segments tonight.
My worst.
Emily...
Everything.
Who is this man?
I only know it because he said his own name like 5 times in one segment. It's Sean Stasiak.
He's the perfect one.
Apparently, this is happening during the NBA championships or playoffs or something, and he's just found a high school gym, and he's throwing free throws and trying to match or beat the free throw record, and it's just him alone in a gymnasium.
No, he has some random woman with him.
Yeah, but she doesn't say anything. She says no words. He's just cutting promos at her about how great he is while he's throwing balls. Why are we here?
Yeah,
why do we care?
This is literally just a ripoff of the old Mr. Perfect vignettes they would do where he, you know, he'd like throw it like behind the back and sink the shot. And
that's better.
He'd be able to like you know, throw a pass and then catch it. And people are like, wow.
But it was literally just like throw a free throw. Oh, you see, that's why I'm the best. Sean Stasiak. I'm basically perfect. Look at me. I'm Sean Stasiak. I'm perfect. Every throw. Ah, oh, but hey, look at me. Make the throw. I'm perfect. Look, make the throw. I'm Sean Stasiak and I'm perfect. Like, shut the fuck up.
So his goal is to break the free throw record for most consecutive free throws made.
Okay.
I'm sure the fact that we're cutting away from this means he totally made all of them during the times in between.
Of course he did. He's perfect. He's Sean Stasiak and he's perfect.
I swear, we hear him miss one later when it cut away.
But we didn't see it.
No, he actually does sink the first one. I was like, I wonder how many takes we had to do of various.
Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with a pre-recorded segment.
Even then, we'll get to that at the end of the show, but Thunder's pre-recorded and they still were struggling.
Oh, that's fair.
We then get David Arquette, DDP, and Canyon coming out to the ring. David is wearing a ridiculous suit and says that Birmingham is his wife's hometown.
I don't know that's for true, but probably. If he's saying it, I probably believe it. Why would you lie?
David acknowledges that he's not a wrestler, and so he is going to relinquish the belt. He's like, no, it should be held by, like, real wrestlers.
Yes.
Like Canyon, DDP, or Booker T. I was like, oh, weird he got a mention here.
Why did he get a shout-out?
I don't know. Maybe just David Arquette likes him.
I mean, he's right. David Arquette is correct.
Arquette says the main event of Slamboree will now be for the vacant title in that triple-decker cage. I noted Team Dickhead comes out, which is Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, and Kimberly. And they also bring out Liz on a handcuffed leash.
Yeah, I forgot about that part, honestly, because Vince Russo won Liz and she's property.
He didn't win her. She's under WCW contract, not Lex contract.
But he is connected to her the whole time. And then he uncuffs himself and cuffs her to the ring ropes. This is so strange. This just feels icky throughout. And there's no real reason for it.
Jared says that Arquette doesn't make the rules, and since David crossed the line, he's going to be treated as a wrestler. Then Eric Bischoff announces that the triple decker cage is now going to be a triple dance.
A triple dance.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Their verbiage is a three-way dance, but WWE is the triple threat, and he managed to hit both.
Triple dance. A three-way dance versus a triple threat. Like, three-way dance sounds silly.
Lex Luger then sprints out to the ring to save Liz, and Russo just takes her and leaves, and then, like, oh, okay. Like, the segment's still going after that.
Yeah, Luger runs out. I feel like Russo saw him coming before anybody else did, because he was, like, already in the crowd by the time Luger made it to the ring.
Yeah.
So, like, so they cut to that run, and they run out, and then they're, like, back in the ring. Jeff Jarrett's like, anyway, here's what's up. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, because Bischoff then says that Arquette needs a tune-up and books him versus Tank Abbott, which brings out Tank Abbott. I'm like, oh, is this like that? Like now?
Oh, we could only be so lucky.
DDP then says that Eric Bischoff, you really don't have to work at it, do you? You really don't have to work at being an asshole. And Bischoff's like, no, I don't. I'm great.
At least he knows it.
Tank Abbott then has a mic, and I'm like, oh, no.
There's no light behind his eyes when he speaks. He just memorized some words and is now reciting them for you. He's not performing. He's just...
There's no passion.
I can't even say there's no passion. There's literally nothing. There's no life. This man is lifeless. It's just, like, weird to watch. It's kind of like watching a middle schooler in a play where, like, their mom made them sign up. They didn't actually want to do it. So they just memorize the lines and they're like, look, Mercutio, there he goes.
So, do you remember the thing from a couple of years ago of, like, Ian McKellen crying while making The Hobbit? Because it's just, like, he's alone in the room. It's like, what has this all become?
No.
Oh, yeah, because he's the only one there because now everything's, green screened.
Oh, wow. No, I have not seen that.
I was going to say, what's going to make him cry more? That or having to work a scene opposite Tank Abbott? What is this business become?
Ian McKellen would quit.
So everyone starts brawling. Security comes in, breaks it up. Tank Abbott then offers like a stipulation for a match of DDP versus Tank Abbott, where if DDP wins, the advertised David Arquette versus Tank Abbott match doesn't happen. And if Tank wins, match happens, making the bet pointless. It's the way Emily bets.
Okay. We haven't made a bet in a very long time. I'm not good at betting. Yeah. I don't gamble. I don't do any of that because I know I'm not good at betting.
You don't want to gamble with me because I'll cheat.
I'll cheat.
You want to play 21? So we have a match or two set for later. None of these are our main event.
Nope.
We then get Lex Luger storming through backstage looking for Liz. Elsewhere, Sean Stasiak sinks two more free throws.
Of course he does. He's perfect. He's Sean Stasiak.
Totally misses the third one. You can like hear it clang off the rim. Also, a lot of the free throws are not like clean looking. It's like, oh, it's going to bounce a couple times. And like,
but also, if you're trying to break a record, there has to be somebody there from the like official record keep to keep track of said record and they see that you actually beat it. There's no one else in this gym other than Sean Stasiak and this random girl.
Maybe she's the official.
Maybe. How dare I even consider that maybe she's
You think
not.
Just because she's cute, she can't have a job? Backstage, Eric Bischoff scolds Hugh Morris and then books Hugh Morris, Scott Steiner, and Jeff Jarrett in a triple threat match for tonight. And if any of the misfits in action interfere, they'll be fired.
This didn't make any sense to me.
I don't get it.
Okay, I'm glad you don't get it too, because I thought it was another thing that I forgot So,
well, like, we kind of noted that the Misfits in Action, like, quietly formed, and they're like, oh yeah, you know this group, and I, like, went back to all the shows, and I'm like, no.
I was really struggling to remember who the Misfits in Action were.
Yeah, it's Hugh Morris, Chavo Guerrero, Van Hammer, and Lash Theroux. It's the group people we saw getting scolded a few weeks ago, where it was them, Booker T, and Jerry Flynn, and Jerry Flynn is now no longer with the company.
Jerry Flynn!
So... that's all for Jerry Flynn. You want to do a whole...
yeah, let's do a postmortem for him.
The fact that Hugh Morris is now getting a big push is weird. The fact that you have Jeff Jarrett in that match is even weirder. Because he's wrestling for the world title on Sunday. And is now the third wheel in a match.
Yeah. He seems too big for a stupid blow-off match like that.
Like, that's a spot for a goon. That's a, hey...
the Paisans would be perfect in this.
Yeah, or like, it's you in a triple threat match, which is really a handicap match, against like the Harris Boys.
Yeah.
God, I just advocated for the Harris Boys being
on
TV.
Oh,
no. So let's go to our second match of the night. It's The Wall Brother versus Horace Hogan Brother.
Ugh.
Versus Dead Brother Son Brother.
Horace Hogan, Dead Brother Son Brother.
This is apparently a tables match, but it takes a little while for them to actually note this. We just saw the table at ringside.
Yeah, which kind of figured...
the two brawl on the ramp mid-entrance. Horace hits a hanging DDT in the corner and then a Death Valley driver. Commentary finally confirms the tables match as Miss Hancock comes out.
Why?
She's still scouting.
For what?
Yeah.
For who? We need to establish what Miss Hancock's purpose is. Because right now she's just, her purpose is legs. And I don't think that there's anything else. It's legs meets clipboard.
I cringed a lot harder than I have in a while watching wrestling. With a line from Mark Madden when she comes out.
Oh, no.
Snoochie boochies, fellas.
Pardon?
I know that from, like, Clerks, and even I'm like, it's from Jay, who's meant to be kind of lame, and here it's like... also, is she talking about, like, weed?
Snoochie's boochies?
Snoochie boochies. I don't know why he said it here either. I was like, ugh.
What?
I don't know what you were going for, but I don't think I want to find out. I don't think you got there.
Oh, that like breaks my brain.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So Horace sets up a table in the ring. Kibben comes out to interfere, and Horace eats a big boot, which they're like, that's his uncle's move. I'm like, plenty of people do a fucking big boot.
It's a boot. What?
Yeah. Chokeslam through the table. The Wall wins. The heels then double team Horace until Hulk Hogan comes out, and they bail, but Mike Awesome comes out. Hogan then manages to fight the three men off until, like, eventually he's taken down. And this is where we get the bell just nonstop again. It's this guy's back.
He's back and better than ever.
Hogan powers out of being put through the table again and goes to superplex Awesome through it. But Kidman stops this, and Awesome hits a rough-looking at first, but finally gets there, sunset flip Awesome bomb through the table. Because if he hit it the way that move normally goes, Hogan would have missed the table by about 4 feet. Like, they kind of roll through. It's like, no, you have to land and then run them over. This was pretty cool. And then we cut away, like, before, like, the sentence is over.
Oh, yeah. Hard cut away from Hogan going through the table.
To a tombstone.
Like, yeah. But what the fuck was this match?
Yeah.
Especially the ending. It was so, again, confusing and chaotic, but not in a good way. In a, like, what's happening way. Like, it hard cuts to... the Hogan run in so quickly, and then Mike Awesome is right on his tail, so then it turns into a Hogan Awesome beatdown, so fuck The Wall and Horace Hogan, like, fuck them. It's about Hogan and Awesome now.
Yeah. Well, Horace Hogan only exists here to make you think about Hulk Hogan.
But they don't call him Horace Hogan, at least not in the graphic. He's just Horace. So it's almost like they don't want you to think about him.
On this show, he might be Horace Balea.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, what the fuck? And like I said, we hard cut to a shot of a tombstone.
Yes. An actual tombstone.
Like a
tombstone,
cemetery
not
tombstone,
like,
yeah.
Not like someone hitting a move.
No, like a cemetery. Ugh. And of course, we get Nick's favorite, a broody Vampiro promo.
Curiosity killed the scorpion. Like, it just... like, no, I'm fear. You're not fear.
I am fear.
Oh, God. Maybe for Slamboree, I might. I'll try to, like, write my own little Vampiro promo.
You should try.
We then get Vince Russo dragging Liz to the ring. He says he's not hiding from Lex and calls him out and then leaves. What?
Why? Why did we do this? Why are we wasting time? Why couldn't this be a backstage cut? We love cutting to backstage. Why don't we cut to backstage and hear him say this?
Or, hey, I'm calling you out.
Come here.
Yeah.
Do it now.
We then get our triple threat match. It's Jeff Jarrett versus Scott Steiner, who is the U.S. champion, by the way, versus Hugh Morris.
No, according to Tony Schiavone, this is only humorous. He never calls him Hugh Morris throughout the whole match. It's humorous. It's humorous how little he calls him Hugh Morris.
I don't think you're ready for his new name.
No, I don't want you to tell me. Don't tell me.
It's
don't tell
bad.
Me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Steiner only has two ladies with him. The
supposedly, it's the same ladies as always.
It is.
Supposedly. Medeja and something.
Like Shakira or something.
Maybe. Supposedly the same women as always.
Yes. No Tylene Buck.
Sure.
Steiner grabs an anti-Steiner sign. He threatens to fight the crowd if they bring any more signs like this.
Yeah, he's just like ripping signs out of people's hands to the point where like some people are like, oh, what the fuck? Give me a sign. Give me my sign back.
Morris storms the ring and gets double teamed, which really makes it weird that Jeff Jarrett's here. Because the last time Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner were in the same ring, there was the whole fucking show long, oh, there's the open challenge for the title. Who's going to accept it?
Oh, yeah. And that was like Steiner's return, wasn't it?
Well, no. It wasn't his return. They just treated it like a face turn.
Oh, face turn. Okay.
Yeah. They treat it like, oh, he's leaving the group. You know, he's fine. So we get a belly-to-belly from Steiner. Jarrett tries to steal the win, which Steiner doesn't like. Jarrett then tries for the stroke behind Steiner's back, and Steiner breaks it up. Morris starts to come back, but misses no laughing matter. Steiner locks in the Steiner recliner, but Jeff Jarrett hits a guitar shot on Steiner, and then leaves.
Just walks out of the ring.
Yeah, he could have got the pin there. Didn't. I don't know why. Hugh Morris then crawls over, gets the pin. Misfits in action come out to help Morris to the back, and this was weird.
Yeah.
This felt pointless and weird, and I don't get it.
That's kind of how we feel about a lot of this show. Like, it's pointless and weird, and I don't get it.
Was this meant to be Booker, but he's hurt?
I mean, maybe. That would make a little bit more sense, but also not that much.
I mean, I kind of wonder, is Hugh Morris going to get Booker spot, considering he pinned Steiner? I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know. Nothing in this episode makes sense, and we'll talk about it towards the end, but this episode helps me really understand why WCW died.
Yeah, Emily cracked the code.
I really did, and we'll talk about it later.
Elsewhere, Sting is at the graveyard looking for Vampiro. Oh, yeah, I guess we just said Vampiro's promo was calling out Sting.
Yes, it's calling him out to the graveyard. So Sting goes to the graveyard. Why would you go to the graveyard?
I also didn't figure this was happening in real time until Sting showed up.
Yeah, right? So where is this graveyard?
But he also shows up in his gear, which just feels weird to be driving around.
But like, where is this graveyard if Sting can see Vampiro's promo 3 minutes ago and now be in the cemetery?
I mean, both these men appear back in the arena, so it can't be that far.
It must be like right down the street around the corner, but it's also nighttime and it's very dark and like, well, I guess it's nighttime when they show this, so that's fine. But
yeah, yeah. Alabama, that'd be East Coast time. So
I'm just thinking of the cutbacks to the set with Courtney Cox, where it's like very obviously bright and sunny. So I'm, in my head, it's daytime, but no, it's not.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where they're saying that set is. Is that meant to be L.A. or are they meant to be like, oh, it's called 3,000 miles to Graceland, so they're in Graceland.
I don't know.
But technically, it should be 3,000 miles from Graceland.
Couldn't tell you. I don't know.
We'll come back to that later. Backstage, Eric Bischoff fires the Misfits in action for some reason. They didn't interfere.
They didn't interfere, but fuck you. You're fired anyway.
So this happens so that they can all get fun new names.
Nick has told me some of them. Does this happen at Slamboree?
Probably then or the Nitro after.
Oh, God.
I mentioned this to Emily because in my brain, Lieutenant Loco is Lash LaRue. You know, the guy has
LL.
Two. Yeah.
Two L sideburns. Go with the LL branding.
Yeah. Nope.
God.
Yes. I have not told her Hugh Morris's new name, though.
You gotta save it at this point. I gotta wait.
By the way, they do appear on Thunder.
Do they?
Yep, they're in the Battle Royal on Thunder.
So they're not fired? Or do they just really not think anybody's watching Thunder? Like, fuck it.
We'll talk about that Battle Royal at the end of the show, because that is a clusterfuck of television.
Oh, God. This isn't? This episode's not a clusterfuck of television? How many times at this point, we are not even that far into this show. We are, what, three matches in? How many times would you have already switched off?
I forget what point it was where we paused until we were only halfway through. We're like, fuck.
Not quite. But I can't blame anybody who was watching Raw. If this is what the other show was doing, like, yeah, watch Raw.
You know, the funny thing is, at this point, Raw might not even be on. This is them going unopposed.
Yikes.
In a locker room, Russo and Liz bicker. We then get Sting at the graveyard, and Vampiro keeps following him. By the way, all these have been in black and white.
Yes.
But yeah, like, Vampiro will start following him and then disappear.
He's, like, stalking him.
But, like, Sting doesn't, like, turn around to be like, where'd he go? It's just, like, we as the audience, like, okay, cool, you've cut to Sting, and now Vampiro's just lost him?
Behind him? I don't know. Yeah, they're both just, like, meandering through this graveyard.
Vampiro lures Sting somewhere. He hits him with a shovel repeatedly. And then
beats him down with a shovel.
Yeah.
Woof.
Goes over towards an open grave where there's a tombstone nearby. Vampiro sells how heavy this is. And
oh, he was doing his best mime impression to make this look heavy. Because Nick was like, those look like paper. I'm like, no, they look like real tombstones. And then when he went to pick it up, I was like, oh, that's not a real tombstone. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah. Sting gets hit. The tombstone crumbles into just, like, sand.
Yeah. Like, obliterates it.
And Sting falls into the grave.
R.I.P., I guess.
Well, that's what commenters say. Like, well, yeah, he's dead.
He died. Long live Sting.
Vampiro then pushes a wheelbarrow into the grave, apparently.
That would kill him.
But we see Sting's hand peek up out of the grave at the end. But it because like it's all grainy black and white, it was really hard to see.
Yeah, I wasn't totally sure of what I was looking at until the commentary was like, is that Sting's hand?
He's alive. It's like, yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, you didn't actually murder a man on television.
I thought this was pretty lame. I didn't think this was as cool as they wanted it to be.
Yeah, my note is the OG Boneyard match did not hit as hard.
I know we get an actual like cemetery match. I forget what they call it, but
not a Boneyard match?
I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah, this has, obviously, this has potential to be cool because we've seen it be cool. This sucked. What happened to Vampiro? We loved Vampiro. I loved Vampiro.
He started talking.
What happened?
He started talking is what happened.
It's like he left the Cruiserweight division, he stopped having matches with Billy Kidman, and now he sucks.
He wasn't never really in the Cruiserweight division. He's always bigger than that.
He was fighting Billy Kidman, though.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily the Cruiserweight division.
Well, I think of Billy as a Cruiserweight.
He is, but just because you're fighting somebody's a Cruiserweight doesn't mean the Cruiserweight division.
I don't know.
If they do Big Show versus Rey Mysterio, Big Show's not in the Cruiserweight division.
He was fighting guys his size.
Yeah.
So I think of him as in that Cruiserweight division.
I mean, at the end of the day, he is in a feud with Sting, so he's getting a bit of a push, but
I guess. But yeah. At what cost?
Then get Ric Flair, hype it up, Lex warming up, which shortly after Mark Madden's like, oh, that was a great interview. Ric Flair wooing as...
I actually really liked this quote from Mark Madden. I wrote it down. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, point out how your show is repetitive and stale. That's a great tactic, Mark.
Fuck it. We're past that at this point. I thought it was a funny line.
Let's go to our next match. Emily's so lucky. She gets 2 10 Gabbit matches in this show.
I'm thrilled. And this one is just great.
It's DDP versus Tank Abbott. And when they get in the ring, holy shit, DDP looks so much bigger than Tank Abbott.
DDP is like your height, right? He's like 6'4"?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a big dude, but I don't know why this is the moment that I think because they're meant to be like Tank Abbott has been this big threat.
Maybe, yeah.
He just looks so small.
But I look at DDP and I'm like, holy fuck, what a big guy. And then he's your height, but I don't look at you and be like, holy fuck, what a big guy. I just see you as you. I don't know. There's something about DDP being that tall. Or I'm like, whoa.
You know what it is? He has better posture with all the yoga.
Probably. You can do yoga.
Tank hits strikes and almost knocks out DDP, but DDP manages to get up. Paige gets worked over as Canyon and Arquette get locked in their dressing room. I didn't see if we could actually see somebody close the door. They're like, Russo! And just door suddenly closes.
Yep, no. This match cuts to backstage like 4 or 5 times. I can't understand why. It's constant.
The one later made you angrier, though.
Oh, yeah. And I'll bitch about it again here.
DDP fights Tank off with a trash can. We think of Jeff Jarrett disguised as a fan, hits DDP with a bottle, and after a Tank punch, DDP is knocked out and loses.
Jeff Jarrett coming through the audience, I could not tell it was Jeff Jarrett at first.
Remember that.
It took until he took off the disguise for me to be like, oh, fuck, it's Jeff Jarrett.
It looked like Buff for a second.
A little bit, yeah, with the sunglasses. Yeah.
So Eric Bischoff celebrates backstage. David Arquette panics, and then it is confirmed later tonight we will have David Arquette versus Tank Abbott.
How excited are you for that match?
I thought it was the main event.
Should be. Should have been.
Kind of weird it's not for the title.
It is kind of strange it's not for the title. But it also should have been the main event. Because what is the main event should not be the main event on any show. It's no.
We didn't get DDP being stretchered out. Like, he got, you know, like, knocked out. Like,
knocked out by a sugar glass. Like, let's be real. Well, we've seen significantly worse.
Technically, it was the punch.
Oh,
he's still on,
okay.
He's still on, like, one knee there. So he's not, he's dazed, but.
We've seen significantly worse handled significantly less.
Yeah.
Like, we end matches with Hogan and Flair passed out in pools of their own blood, and they don't get stretchered out.
Yeah, but.
But DDP gets knocked to his knees, and oh, ER.
Yeah, but that's TNA, so.
No, I'm saying WCW, too.
Oh, I know, but. It may have also just happened on the TNA Impact episode we just reviewed.
Available now over on our Patreon.
Yeah, guess what? It's a lot like Nitro.
Sure is. If you're liking this, what if you watch it 10 years from now?
But at least there's X Division matches.
True, we have that.
Much like WCW. Hey, there's this one division of the smaller guys. It's great.
Sometimes, if they're allowed to be. We then cut backstage to just a random shot of Hulk Hogan and Mike Awesome still just punching each other.
Yeah.
That's it.
So far we've seen them brawl backstage in the like parking garage area, wherever the hell they were. Then I guess they stopped. Hogan came to save his nephew. Awesome then came out and they brawled. And I guess we never really saw what happened at the end there because we cut away so quick.
I guess they never stopped brawling because they're still just punching each other in the back.
We didn't get Kidman coming out to the ring. No Tori. Kind of weird.
I do miss Tori.
Even Contrary was like, where's Tori?
That's true. We got Stacy, but no Tori.
Kidman asks for a thank you from the fans, and he wants respect, and notably calls Kevin Nash a washed-up piece of trash.
I'm sure that'll go over well for him.
Kidman says he'll finish off Hogan on Sunday, and then offers an open challenge for tonight. We cut to backstage, for some reason, to see Terry Taylor with Kevin Nash being like, I think you should go out there.
I think he's calling you out.
Like, Nash takes some convincing.
But why do we need this shot for exposition?
Yeah.
Why can't we just be in the ring with Billy Kidman and then Kevin Nash's music hits? Why do we need to see that Kevin Nash is watching TV backstage? There's no reason for that shot.
Needing to be talked into it. He's like, I don't want to fucking work.
He doesn't even have, like, he doesn't have to come out and be like, let's have a match. He can just come out and be like, promo with him, like promo brawl. Be like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, we don't need a brawl. I don't want to fight you. Like, you suck.
I don't know if I want to hear that promo because it's just going to be Kevin Nash burying Billy Kidman for 5 minutes.
But that's kind of what he ends up doing. So what's the difference? Why do we need that shot? There are so many extraneous shots from backstage that mean nothing.
Also kind of kills the quote unquote surprise.
Yes, I mean, it kills any buildup. Why are we going backstage so much?
Like, the only way that works is if you have somebody else like kind of see Kevin Nash and go, no, he's mine.
I mean, maybe.
Like, that's the only way that shot works.
Maybe.
So Nash finally comes out and Kidman attacks him, getting in the ring. Nash immediately gains control and gets Kidman in the corner.
Yeah, just buries him.
Kidman begs off like a little bitch. Like, oh no, please, sir, stop.
I didn't mean it. No.
We didn't get Conan and Rey Mysterio coming
out. Rey Mysterio's back!
You did not recognize Rey.
No, he's in his Eminem era.
Yeah.
Bright, bright blonde bleach hair. But he's back. I'm actually really excited to see Rey Mysterio.
And how long did that excitement last?
It will carry over. It will be a carryover excitement. I'm happy that he's back. Don't undercut it yet. He gives me hope for the smaller guy division. We're going to see some flippy shit. Regardless of the bad match that Rey Mysterio gets booked into, he's going to flip and it's going to be good.
I don't know when the hell this Cruiserweight tag team title happens.
Now that he's back, that opens the door for there to be another Kidman Mysterio match, and I love those. So there's a chance that there's a seed of good.
Emily, for what it's worth, I think these two team until the end of Nitro.
And they can be tag members. I don't know.
And by the way, yeah, Conan is back for what it's worth.
I wasn't as excited to see Conan.
Yeah, he's been gone for a while.
He has been gone for a while. We haven't talked about his theme in a very long time.
So they come out to attack Nash, and Nash just fights off all three men.
Yeah, again, just
not even fucking trying.
Rey and Conan. They don't add anything to the fight. They don't have any moment of power. They have no moment of offense. You're just another little bug for him to squish.
Yeah, this was pretty bad because I'm like, okay, it's 3-on-1. You can at least give them a little something. Nope.
Something. A little. Like, take a punch. Like, whoa, that sucked. And then go. Like, anything.
So Nash goes for a jackknife, but Conan, like, kind of slides in the ring. So Nash is like, well, I guess not. Kidman escapes to ringside. Nash goes to chase. Nash goes to chase Ray and Conan as they run away. Should be noted that both Ray and Nash are coming off, like, leg injuries. So having them run after each other, not the best idea.
No.
Ray and Conan then try to speed off in, like, Conan's car. But there's something
blocking
it. But the
exit ramp is blocked.
Yeah. So they get about 15 feet. Nash goes to, like, steal someone else's car and then goes, wait, I don't need to. And just, like, goes over to the car.
Yeah, it looked like this was supposed to be, like, a car chase moment where Conan and Ray get into their truck. Nash has to chase after it for a minute, then grabs another car and chases them out in the car. But because there is this other thing blocking the ramp, it kind of turns into the sold out entrance where they're walking alongside trucks. Everything's just going the same speed as walking. So they try to drive off in the truck, Conan and Ray, and Nash is just like walking behind it. Like, oh, I can just grab you out of the car, I guess.
But also kind of turns into the game I play with my parents' dog, where it's like, all right, I'm going to go around one side of the table and you got to run around the other side.
Yeah.
Because we go to commercial as Conan tries to do something with the truck. I don't know what it was, but back from commercial, Nash has just, like, killed both men. Ray is hiding under a car. Conan's passed out in the front seat. And then Nash, like, destroys the car.
Starts to smash the windows, yeah.
That's it!
Why did he feel the need to smash the windows?
Because fuck you, that's why. Fuck your joy. You made two returning stars look like a complete joke.
Yeah.
And I would almost get this if the people they wanted to walk out on were still the people in charge. Because now I'm thinking, I'm like, is this their punishment for wanting to leave and then not leaving?
Yes.
But I'm like, it's different people in charge now.
Doesn't matter. They wanted to get out, so therefore, like, therefore they're not with the team.
Brother. That's like the only reason I can 100%. Even fathom is, oh, you wanted to leave?
You can't now be a little pawn in our game.
So, Filthy Animals having a great first night back.
I'm still excited at the prospect of Rey Mysterio being back in the ring. I'm hopeful, and I'm going to hold on to that.
I think part of the problem is, look, I know Rey is probably going to do great stuff again. I just know that's not going to happen until he plummets down the card. If he's in the ring with the Kevin Nashes and Hulk Hogans of the world,
that's true.
He is not going to be doing well.
That's true.
Wow, I got sad.
I got really sad.
Let's go to our next match. Totally a match. It's Vince Russo with Liz versus the Total Package.
Fuck this.
So Russo comes out with a mic and is like, hey, Flair, you know the stipulation where if I interfere, you hit me for 5 minutes? I'm going to interfere because I'm not afraid of the 5 minutes. Cool. Why even?
So why is the stipulation in place?
Yeah.
So why did we even do that?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's not on him. It's on the writers.
Nicholas.
Sorry, I'm just so used to Kevin Nash using that excuse. We're like, no, I wasn't booking them. It's not me.
I'm going to walk out of this podcast.
So, additionally, Russo says that if Lex wins tonight, he gets the keys to Liz. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what?
I guess to the cuffs.
Yeah, to the cuffs. But the way he said it was so icky.
Russo then tells Liz, okay, Liz, do me. What?
Right here, right now, do me.
She says, I know you're from New York, but even you can understand my Kentucky, like, kiss my ass.
Kiss my Kentucky ass.
So Lex and
totally
Flair.
Totally makes sense, but, yeah. You know, whatever. Go off, Liz.
Lex and Flair come out. Flair's immediately attacked by Shane Douglas and Buff Bagwell. God. Luger is then attacked by about 12 security guards. Luger gets maced and then handcuffed. Buff comes in, they low blow Luger and beat him down. Liz goes to help Lex, and Russo, for some reason, gives her the baseball bat and is like, finish him.
Why did Russo call Lex down for a match if he was going to sick 20 indie wrestler guys from Alabama on him?
Oh, we're not even done with all them, too.
I was so confused when I saw them coming down. Like, obviously, they're going to attack Flair. Sure. But when they got to the ring and there were so many security guys, I was so confused because, like, I thought this was a match that Russo wanted. I thought he was like, I'm no chicken shit. I'll do the match. I'll fight you. What? Then why? Why? You're not making yourself look strong. You're writing this shit.
I still get, like, hey, this woman visibly hates you.
better keep her attached to my wrist. Well,
give her the bat and finish Lex. Like, my one thing is, does he think he's writing his big Return of the Jedi moment?
What do you mean?
Where Vader throws the Emperor into the fucking, into the reactor. Does he think, oh yeah, this is the same thing? Where Liz gets her big moment and, because she hits Russo with the bat.
I mean, maybe. He might think he's that clever. Yeah. He might.
Yeah, so she hits
Russo. It doesn't work.
She like, jogs off so casually.
Yeah, she's just, like, going for a light jog.
And Emily, who's here to save this segment?
I never thought I would say this. But thank God, Chronic is here.
To be fair, that wears off almost immediately.
But, like, they ran out. I was like, oh, my God, my heroes. Chronic.
They casually beat down security, like, really lamely. Like, oh, no. Then we get fake cops running out.
God.
And, like, they're waiting for their cue because Chronic is supposed to hit their finisher on this one guy.
So these security guards and, like, police officers, whatever, they're very obviously independent young wrestlers from some faction in Alabama. They don't quite get wrestling yet. They know how to do the moves, and they understand that they are there for a reason, but they are so focused on waiting for their cue that they're not, like, playing with each other in the in-between. There's okay. No, like, transition from move to move to set piece to what.
I'm going to defend them.
Why?
Because it's a bunch of people who are like, okay, don't screw up this national television show. All right, you're going to go out there and stop them. Go.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, the pros are going to get their shit in, brother. Like,
no, sure. I'm just saying that, like, there's very obviously a cue for a security guard to punch a guy. But before and after that, he's just standing there doing nothing. He's not even, like, pretending to mimic around. Like, oh, what the fuck are these guys? Well, bam, what are these fucking guys? Like, no, it's just stand, punch, done.
Yeah, like I said, they're waiting for Chronic to finish their move.
But it would have added more to the moment. It would have made Chronic look better if these guys looked like they were doing something in the interim.
Well.
It's like theater. If the ensemble is just standing and staring at the main character, it doesn't add to the ambiance of the scene. It doesn't build the culture of whatever world they're trying to build.
You're giving this way more credit.
I'm mad about it.
So they mace.
It took so much away that, yeah, I'm taking this more seriously than I need to.
They mace Chronic, and that's the end of the segment. Holy crap, what a clusterfuck this whole thing was.
I'm just getting so viscerally angry about all of the interworking pieces. This is actually the moment where I made my realization of what killed WCW. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to talk about the end of the episode?
End of the episode.
Okay.
Like I said, I think the Battle Royal adds to that a lot.
I'm mad. Now I'm heated. This is how it was when we were watching, too. I was just getting viscerally angry. My notes are scarce from here on out. I'm just mad.
Backstage, David Arquette and Kenyon panic about the Tank Abbott match. I'm like, just leave.
You could just go home.
Like, they needed to say, if you don't do this match, we're going to fire Kenyon.
There needed to be consequences, yeah.
Yeah, it just like, hey, you're in the triple threat match. Okay, what if I don't show up? Like,
it's kind of like when you quit a job and people are like, you have to give two weeks notice. And you're like, what if I don't? And?
So, Emily, we were a little wrong about something earlier.
Oh.
This is where Kevin Nash is still burying Conan and destroying his car. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
We come back to this 10 minutes later, and he's still just fucking.
Oh, my God.
Then we get Chronic and Luger getting arrested. I don't know where the fuck Flair went in all this.
Home.
My next note in all caps. Oh, Christ, it's Vampiro with a mic. The hunter has become the hunted.
I am the darkness.
He then speeds through a bunch of lines he has memorized.
This was like, I keep likening it to high school and middle school theater, but this was so middle school theater where, like, he memorized a monologue and he's like, if I don't say it really fast, I'm gonna forget it.
Sting, I'm the monster you should have been. I'm true darkness. He does call himself an anti-hero here.
Vampiro, the anti-hero? It's me. Hi, I'm the darkness. It's me.
It's not easy rooting for him here.
It's exhausting rooting for the anti-hero.
And by the way, the whole time he's doing this promo, his like entrance lights are still going. So it's like red and green alternating.
Yeah, he's trying to be edgy.
Because then we get some thunder hitting and we get Sting's lighting. And we go up to the stage and Emily, what's there?
I think it's a bird!
It's the bird!
There's a bird!
Honestly, sorry, I lied. Obviously, this is your best bit. Forgot about the bird.
It's really sad how much a bird can save a wrestling show for me.
So is this show themed, Emily, because there's a bird?
This segment's themed.
Well, admittedly, I think I forgot about the bird because right after, Sting rappels down from the ceiling and lands super hard. And, like, I'm looking at his fucking harness. I'm like, that's... I don't know, man. That doesn't look super safe.
Why do we keep doing this?
And your fucking pay-per-view on Sunday is in the arena where Owen Hart died, so I'm really hoping you don't have Sting fucking rappel down. I know the other bad thing you do there, but we'll get there.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
But yeah, very quick release. Sting attacks Vampiro with a bat and just kind of buries him, too. Just leaves
him laying. He deserves it, though.
Like, repeatedly.
He does deserve it.
The thunder hits again as Sting leaves. Sting is no longer covered in blood for any segments.
No. Yeah, he finally took a bath. Yeah. Thank God.
Oh, I hope he took a shower, not a bath.
Oh,
that would be a bad bath.
Commentary said something along the lines of, like, he was in that blood for days. He didn't bathe. So I was like, oh, a bath.
I don't know what the stipulation for this match is going to be on Sunday, but it feels like it's going to be something.
It's not going to be good, but we're going to watch it.
We then see Tank Abbott and David Arquette heading towards the ring for their match.
I don't want to watch this.
Well, hey, don't worry. Before that, we go back to Sean Stasiak.
Good. Thank God. I was worried about his stupid ball record.
He hits 3 more free throws and we cut away.
Ah! This is the part during watching while I was also screaming, so this is still very fresh in my mind.
Speaking of women screaming, Russo barges into the women's locker room.
Oh my God, yeah, this was terrifying.
Liz tells him off, and I'm like, he just kind of takes it. And I'm like, oh.
She doesn't really tell him off. She, like, he barges in. A couple other women scream. She turns around, and, like, she's going to say something. And then she just slaps him.
She just say a little something.
She says a little something, but not quite to the effect of, like, telling him off. She just, like, hits him. And that's effective. It gets the point across.
Let's go to our second last match. It's Tank Abbott versus David Arquette.
Can we not?
And immediately, Canyon is sent to the back. Arquette hangs onto the back of Abbott, but is thrown off. Abbott safely slams Arquette around, and I'm like, okay. Well,
At least he's a good worker, but like,
well,
no.
Arquette tries to spear Abbott, but is caught. We then get DDP arriving back in an ambulance. He appears from the driver's seat.
He's driving the ambulance that took him away. And not only, they tried to sell it as like, he stole the ambulance. No, he didn't. The EMTs are in the passenger seat. He just was like, hey guys, can I drive the ambulance? And they're like, yeah, sure, Dallas, take the truck. And they're just along for a little joyride. Because they've done this angle before where I think it was Hogan stole the ambulance that he was carted away in.
Yeah.
But the EMTs weren't in the ambulance that time when he reappeared. This time, they get out with him.
Remember that time they barred Hulk Hogan from the building and then he just stared at a cop and was like, they let him in?
Fair enough.
Understandable. Have a nice day. So DDP's music hits. Then we cut to Eric Bischoff telling Jeff Jarrett to get to the ring. And while that happens, we miss the Diamond Cutter on
the
Abbott.
The whole reason DDP is here.
DDP pulls David Arquette on top of Abbott, and Arquette wins.
Why did we cut to backstage? Jeff Jarrett doesn't even run out.
No.
Jeff Jarrett has no part in any of this. Why did we cut backstage? What did that add to the fucking show, Eric Bischoff? What was the point? We missed the whole reason the DDP was here. We missed his whole rundown. We missed a Diamond Cutter. We missed him entering from the audience. Like, we missed all of it. We had to see it in the replays. But, of course, we had to see Jeff Jarrett having a chat with Eric Bischoff. Thank God. Why? Why?
I feel like you've absorbed some of my anger. Now, there was the most compelling part of the show here.
What?
It was DDP trying to carry out David Arquette in his shoulders from the ring. Because he, like, steps over the top rope.
He's doing,
he tries
a fireman
to, like,
carry.
Yeah, walk down the stairs. I'm like, he's going to fucking drop him.
He doesn't quite make the stairs. He kind of, like...
Well,
steps off
the stairs got like bumps, so they're a little off too, but
he like chose to fireman's carry David out of the ring, and it just like, bud, why? I guess you look cool, but you almost fucked yourself up.
Yeah, this was, I don't know why this had to happen. Do you know who hated this?
Me.
You know who else hated this?
Who?
One Mr. Bill Goldberg.
More like Goldberg.
Because his point, and I see his point, you're setting up this guy you know, you keep, it's not going great, but you keep having him trying to look like a killer for me to return against him, and you have him fucking lose to David Arquette.
Yep. Correct.
Yeah. So he's a little pissed about that.
Yeah. If I was Goldberg, I wouldn't return. Like, what's there to return to?
The mortal realm, because he's a ghost.
More like ghost work. Like, ah!
So we do see why Jeff Jarrett didn't interfere, which, I mean, he didn't interfere because it happened literally while he was being told to go do something.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
But because Scott Steiner was beating him up. We then go back for the final time to Sean Stasiak. He's like, cool. I'm one free throw away from the record.
I'm so perfect. This is the most perfect record break I've ever had. This is perfect. I'm Sean Stasiak and this is perfect.
So Kurt Hardy comes in to block the shot and attack Stasiak.
Just fucks him up.
I fucking love this. It was so simple. I want to think Kurt Hedy got there an hour ago and went, no, I'll wait.
I'm going to wait for my moment.
I'm going to wait till he's one away.
We both popped so hard when that happened. We're like, oh!
Because, I mean, in reality, what other way was that going to go?
It was so beautiful, though. Kurt Hedy was not even mentioned on the rest of the show. You didn't know that he was part of the show. It was beautiful.
Yeah, because it's also shot so well because he just appears like from out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. It was amazing.
Yeah, leave Stasiak lying, and I enjoyed that.
10 out of 10.
I don't know that the setup was worth it, but I liked the execution.
Yes. The execution was worth it.
Oh, speaking of executions.
It's time to TCB. Take care of Balea.
Yeah, it's time for the main event.
Why is this the main event?
It is Hulk Hogan versus Mike Awesome.
No, it's not. This is Terry Bollea, brother.
Oh, I don't know about that. Check his cock.
Whip it out!
Yeah, despite them brawling the whole night, they get entrances?
They've been brawling nonstop since the beginning, but now they're going to stop so they can have their moment to walk down the ramp. Why?
So, a bit of her, I guess, I don't know, anti-kayfabe here? Hulk Hogan has his FUNB shirt on.
Yeah.
And now has TCB, which is apparently stands for Taking Care of Balea. This match is doing that. Him and Mike Awesome are like tangentially related.
Oh?
Yeah, it just through like weird cousins or something. So
wrestling is all just one big family, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
We're all just a family here. We're like a family.
Yeah, so this is apparently not Hulk Hogan. This is Terry Balea. This isn't CM Punk talking to Triple H. This is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque.
That was more effective than this.
That was still kind of lame.
It was kind of lame, but it was more effective than this.
So Awesome is back to having the Revolution theme song. Remember that.
Okay.
Awesome runs to the ring and gets low blowed right in front of the ref. They messily brawl and Hogan is kicked up the ramp and they brawl as Hogan carefully goes down on bumps.
Carefully.
Diving clothesline from Awesome and then a chair shot to Awesome. DQ?
No.
Hogan whips Awesome with the weightlifting belt and then chokes him with it.
DQ?
Awesome then hits buckle shots with the belt to the head and then chokes Hogan.
DQ?
Commentary even notes they're not calling for DQ. Not it's no DQ.
They're not calling the DQs.
Yeah. They're not enforcing the count out. They're not enforcing DQs. Like, okay. I
guess that's one way to get around it.
Back suplex and then a choke on the floor. My next note is I've lost the will.
Yeah. I lost the will a long time ago, babe.
Chair shots to Hogan. Vaulting splash from Awesome back in the ring. And Hogan then, like, he doesn't hulk up. He just, like, jumps up and lunges at Mike Awesome. Like, he's fucking Gollum.
I didn't get that, but yeah, sure.
He mounts Awesome, chokes him a little bit. That sounded sexy.
That did a little. Kinky.
Big boot to Awesome. Kidman comes in and, like, can't even sneak attack Hogan properly. It's like, he's a chair, no. And Hogan's like, nope, mine. Hogan gets distracted by Awesome, and Kidman hits a diving chair shot from the top rope to the floor. It's Eric Bischoff distracts the ref. Don't know why you needed to. They weren't calling for DQs.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Hogan blades for the pin, and Awesome wins.
Why?
Awesome does have a different theme here when he wins. Like, it's not the same song. And I'm like, what
the... It's not the Revolution theme.
Figure your shit out, guys.
It's like the music guy is just hitting random buttons backstage, and he's like, no one's gonna fucking notice.
Hogan then powers up a bit, hits Awesome and Kidman with a chair, and they bail. We then get someone in a Sting mask getting into the ring.
gets in the ring, stands there for a minute, gets to like stare down Hogan for a sec, and then security and the ref are like, hey, get this fucker out of here.
Yeah, it's a it's just a straight up fan. It's a straight thing,
it's running.
I think because there was so much random bullshit that the security was like, is this part of the show? Oh, fuck, it's not.
Yeah, seriously, because there were so many stupid run-ins with Jeff Jarrett, like I said, did not look like Jeff Jarrett. That could have been anybody.
Yeah. Well, the fan gets out just in time because Hogan's sitting in the middle of the ring and gets the blood dropped on him.
Why are we doing the blood drop?
Because it's the new blood brother.
I get that it's the new blood brother, but this is not.
New blood come out to beat him down to end the show. I feel like you don't need the beat down. I feel like you can just have him laying.
Laying in the blood, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they did not put him in a harness and have him spin endlessly.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get the sting treatment. What the fuck?
This, honestly, this is pretty standard Hogan fare for around this time.
Oh, God. Why did this have to be the main event?
I don't know.
This shouldn't have been the main event. Well, the blood. I guess, yeah. We just made the same thing with the first blood match. Yeah, no, you're right. It has to be the last match because of the blood drop.
I'm now going to just associate any match that's weirdly the main event. I'm like, oh, it's the blood. Oh, man. This was an abysmal Nitro.
This was hard to get through.
This was, one of the worst Nitros we've watched.
Probably. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
So glad to be here.
I thought maybe watching a bunch of shows that were, you know, notably some of the worst pay-per-views of all time might make Nitro a little bit better to watch. It doesn't.
There was a point while we were watching this where Nick looked to me and was like, you know, ECW is technically the second best show right now. What if we just pivot? Like, we can't do that now. We are far too deep.
We actually have an ECW pay-per-view episode coming up somewhat soon.
Somewhat soon, yeah.
I want to talk about Thunder for a second before we fully finish up on this show.
Okay.
Because I skimmed through some of it. It's a lot of, let's get everyone from both factions in the ring and on the ramp and talk. And Chronic has joined the Millionaires Club, apparently.
Why?
Because they're against the New Blood. It's probably calling it the Millionaires Club.
Yeah, they're not.
But the big thing of note was that there was a number one contenders battle royal in that the winner gets the world title shot at the next pay-per-view, the Great American Bash.
Oh, we're way planning ahead, aren't we?
We'll see if it sticks, because this battle royal goes for about 20 to 25 minutes.
Jesus.
And I don't think anyone gets eliminated for the first 10 minutes.
Oh.
And it's like 30 people in the ring, so they're just mindlessly brawling around. People randomly join the match halfway through.
Huh?
Like, the Misfits in Action show up. Medusa, Asia, and Mona come out.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Which, Medusa and Asia come out, and they're like, that's Mona! And they keep calling Mona, and they're like, nope, that's not. That's Asia.
And then Mona, still around? Why are the women here?
And then to add to it, we get some sort of car pulling up. I forget if it's like a Hummer or a limo or a Hummer limo. And we just get a shot of someone's legs walking towards the arena. And
so is Stacy.
Commentary's like, look up. Why are you hiding this? And the person who comes out to be part of the Battle Royal is none other than, in his final WWE appearance, the Macho Man Randy Savage.
What the fuck? Wait, why?
I don't know. So he, at one point, goes through the middle rope and is never eliminated from the match. Bret Hart runs out.
What?
Hits Hogan with a chair. Hogan rolls under the bottom rope. He's never eliminated. Bret Hart just leaves then. Ric Flair wins, so apparently he's the number one contender for Great American Bash.
What the fuck?
Last eliminating Shane Douglas.
Okay.
And as part of this, DDP and Jeff Jarrett like eliminate each other. And they go to brawl up the ramp, and they have this big end spot where apparently they're meant to go through this like trap door as part of like one of the stage panels.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the rest of the roster wasn't told. Apparently Asia almost falls through this at one point, and David Arquette does fall through it. So they completely fuck up the end of the show spot.
Oh my God.
So it just kind of ends with DDP in a hole, Jeff Jarrett overlooking it, and Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan just like looking at each other like, this guy, hey.
What the fuck?
So Thunder's going great.
Oh my God. So I think that actually like enhances my reasoning for why WCW dies.
Yes. I'd say thoughts on the show and then that.
The show was abysmal. The show was fucking terrible. Yeah, yeah. It was almost laughable how bad it was. It was like not quite so bad it's good, but it was so bad it's funny. Which is a very strong distinction.
Yes. So you think you have an advanced copy of the autopsy?
I think so. I think the death of WCW is not any one person's fault. And we've already kind of had that establishment. Like, it's no one person's fault. It's multiple people's fault. But it's not. It's ego. Ego kills WCW. It's the egos of the people in leadership. And I'm not just saying Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff and, you know, executives. I'm saying the egos of those people along with Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, Jeff Jarrett, like the other big name guys, their egos are so high and so elevated that they think that they can do no wrong. They think that they don't have to plan their matches. They don't have to think through a storyline because you're going to watch anyway. So it doesn't matter what we do. Their egos are so inflated that that is what ends up killing them. The people that should have these inflated egos over on WWE, they're not succumbing to that. The Rocks and the Austins and Triple H, they have these egos, but they're not letting them completely destroy what they're doing over there right now. WCW is. It is ego. Ego kills WCW.
So related to ego, I think this is a good note to end on before we go to our final bit. Around this time in the Wrestling Observer, they gave the results of their latest online poll. One of the questions was, will Eric Bischoff or Vince Russo hold the WCW title before the end of the year? 58.9% voted yes. 17.1% voted no, they'll want to, but be fired first. 5.9% voted no, they'll want to, but Goldberg will refuse to do the job. And the last 18.1% was no, because it'll hurt the credibility of the title.
Well, they don't give a shit about that. That's dead and gone now.
Yeah.
That's very telling, though, because it's not just, no, they wouldn't do that. It's, no, they'll want to, but other people won't let them.
Yeah. To be fair, almost 60% said, yeah, they're gonna.
They're fucking gonna. 100%. Before this thing dies, Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo will both be WCW champions. I can see it.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Until then, we gotta do best bit, worst bit, and MVP. Emily, this was a slim pickings for best bit and MVP, honestly.
So I originally wrote down my best bit is the return of Rey Mysterio because it just gave me enough hope to like hold on to. So I'm going to stick with that. I think that that is enough of a bit. It's like the most minuscule of bits.
How am I going to encourage you to give it to the bird?
No, I'm sticking with Rey because I think that that is the fact that him showing up makes me want to keep watching to see if he does something. That's enough for me.
So I know we've been, you know, generous with the term bit, but your one might set the record for...
It's the bittiest bit.
Quickest best bit that immediately goes downhill.
It's a bit. It's a bitty bit.
I think I'm going to have to give mine to Crowbar and Norman Smiley.
I mean, yeah, that's obviously... Like, that's the only match on this card that had any kind of credibility.
Emily, your worst bit?
The constant cutting to backstage segments. The constant cuts backstage ruined the show, ruined the flow, made us miss important parts of the show because of their egos, because we had to see Bischoff one more time. Cutting to backstage, worst bit.
You know what I'm surprised? I don't know who's actually calling the show.
I would like to know.
I'm giving mine to Kevin Nash completely burying the Filthy Animals. It goes on for so long and killed the excitement I had. I was like, oh, fuck, it's Ray. Oh.
Well. Yeah,
All right, and then your MVP,
I think,
Emily?
We both agree on the MVP. My MVP's Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
It's the only moment in the show where we're like, hey!
Wasn't on screen for long, but yeah. He brought the most value to the show.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a fucking show.
Yeah, that's it for this Nitro, and I never want to revisit this one again.
Why would we?
Yeah. Next up is Slamboree!
Woo!
Main evented with the Ready to Rumble cage.
Oh my god.
Will we get Michael Buffer?
No. I think we've seen the end of Michael Buffer, Nick.
No, we definitely haven't.
No?
I know we get more.
Does he
more
win Buffer. The WCW title at some point?
No. No, he never wrestled. I just know he's there for certain moments. But if you want to listen to maybe some of more of the backstory for some of the matches, like I said, half the matches didn't get any sort of time on this show tonight. You can listen to all of our back catalog on almost everywhere podcasts are found besides SoundCloud. You can give yourself a little refresher or re-listen to some of our little special bonus episodes. Speaking of bonus episodes, we have like 11 or 12 at this point over on the Patreon now.
We do.
We are finally back to doing TNA.
finally. We were so excited, and then we just realized it's just WCW Part 2.
Listen, it might get better.
It might. Over on the Patreon as well, I don't know if this is going to be a selling point for people, but I hope so, because I have made it my mission in the year 2024 to watch all 40 WrestleManias, including the one we're going to in 2 weeks.
By WrestleMania 41, you have to watch all of them.
I'm still going to make my goal end of 2024. That is my goal. I will take the extension if I need it. But along with that, I'm doing little write-ups on my thoughts and, like, as I'm watching it, what I'm thinking, what I'm expecting, what I'm hoping, wishing, my hopes and dreams for WrestleMania. But that will be over on the Patreon as well. $5 a month gets you an extra one, maybe two episodes a month, because we do them every 3 weeks. And those write-ups.
Yep. And Here's the Wrestling, also recently up.
Sure is. That was fun.
Well, to keep up with all those releases, because I know our graphic is coming to an end shortly.
Yeah, we gotta make a new one.
How many times can I just repost Nitro? Nitro. Impact.
Yeah.
Well, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Butts in the Pod, Facebook, the Butts and Seats Podcast. Emily, any closing thoughts before we head on over to Slamboree and end our very busy week of releases?
I'm so glad to be back talking about Nitro, aren't you?
It's great.
We're having a great time over
What's
here.
What's the worst that could happen to this pay-per-view?
Oh, God.
But until then, I'm Nick.
And I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats Podcast.
Bye.